Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I am Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show on this Tuesday, April 15th. I am watching the play-in game without sound, but it looks like Trae Young was just ejected from this contest, walking off the court, not giving the officials the basketball. And he's out of this. He's out of this game. So the Magic are going to beat the Hawks. I know that we've got a nation gripped by the excitement of this. I'm into it, and I'm not into it, but I also am. Like, this Warriors-Grizzlies game tonight, that's going to be very interesting. The Warriors can't win these play-in games. And so they're going to get a guy who's actually done pretty well in the playing games, and Jimmy Butler. And it's for the right to have the number two seed, or to face the number two seed as the number seven seed. Whoever loses in these games tonight then has to play on Friday against the winners of the game tomorrow. It's better than the first four. It is better than that, but it does feel similar, as this isn't quite it yet. Now it's giving the Orlando Magic fans a fun reason to celebrate in a little one-off game, as the Magic had a big lead and then started to maybe blow it, but have taken the lead again, 111-87 with 4:23 to go in the fourth. The winner of this game is going to get the seven seed, which means you get a date with the Celtics as the two seed. I saw some people saying, well, should they try to lose on purpose and then win that next game? First of all, stupid. Second of all, it would be to avoid the Celtics and play the Cavaliers, which is like dumb math. It's like, how many times do you want me to kick you in the groin? 99 or 100? I mean, it's the same thing. By the 15th time, if you make it that far, it's the same thing. Whoever wins this game is going to lose to Boston. Whoever wins the eighth seed, which will be the Hawks, losing this game to take on the winner of Chicago and Miami, and the Hawks will then get the home game on Friday. But whoever wins that game is going to get blown out by the Cavs. So the same. Now, there's always a chance, but I think I can speak in platitudes here regarding the NBA and where these teams are as the 1 and 2 seed, and where these teams are as the 7 and 8 seed. West is a little more interesting because of just how good the Warriors have been after the acquisition of Jimmy Butler. They were 25-26, made the trade, have gone 23-8 since. So they're a different kind of team. A lot of these times, any time a team does better through the play-in tournament, it's because, oh, LeBron was out a good chunk of the season, and the Lakers retooled their whole team, and they took some bumps and bruises, and now, okay, they're focused and ready to go. Or it's Jimmy Butler plays half a year, and he comes back for the playoffs, and now the Miami Heat are ready to go. Those are the kind of situations that the play-in game has been benefiting. You're not going to see a team like, you know, the Magic, and they've had their injuries, but the Magic's not all of a sudden just going to be good and beat Boston in a series. So is there a point to this? Is there a point to what we are watching tonight? I mean, if we didn't have the play-in, the Eastern Conference end of the regular season would have been more exciting, because it would have been the Hawks and Bulls and Heat jostling for playoff spots. But the result would still be the same. I would still think they're going to get crushed by Cleveland or crushed by Boston. In the West, we had all this back and forth between the Clippers and the Timberwolves and the Warriors and the Grizzlies and the Nuggets and the Lakers, but it would have ultimately been meaningless, because the team that's coming in at 8 tonight, Memphis, is 48-34. The team that's coming in at 9 tomorrow, Sacramento, is 40-42. 8 games separate. So, if anything, I think it gives these teams a week of rest. And it's different than my complaint in baseball. In baseball, I complain that They shouldn't get a week of rest. I don't think that that is a reward for teams, especially when if you win that wild card round, you get hot, you get in a groove, you're feeling it. The worst thing that could happen for a team that takes a week off is, yeah, maybe a playing team comes in hot and then they lose game one. Oh my God, are the Hawks really going to know? The Cavs would then win in five, or the Celtics would then win in five games. So it doesn't really have the same effect. And in fact, it can help these teams when they're trying to brace for what is a longer playoff too than baseball. Baseball, you know, October, look at that. NBA playoffs are 2 months and change. We're going to be here for a while. So it's good to have these guys rest up for a week. And certainly, as you saw Sunday, the Clippers and Warriors play that out. That was one of the things they wanted. They didn't just not want to be not guaranteed a playoff berth. They wanted to also have a week off of work. Now, the 10th seeded team in the West who will play tomorrow on the road is the Dallas Mavericks. And one of the big stories today is that Nico Harrison spoke. Nico Harrison said, all right, I think it's fair that I talk to members of the media. And Rick Welts, the CEO of the Mavericks, joined him. So that's good, right? When you hear that right away, you're like, okay, these guys have only really made themselves available one time since the Luka Doncic trade. And you're going to want to hear and ask more questions, especially after you saw Luka come in there and dominate you, score 45 points, and now you're at the 10 seed, which is certainly not where you intended to be when you made this trade. It'd be nice to get some questions answered and to pick the brain. So good on Nico Harrison and Rick Welts for having a press conference of sorts. Well, yeah, of sorts. They only invited select representatives of the media. They gave them less than 24 hours notice. And cameras and audio recording devices not permitted. So you can write down what we say, but we don't want it to get aggregated out there. We don't want the Bart Winkler Show to be able to play our audio. We don't want people to really, we don't want to be doing this. So if you just see written words, maybe it won't have as big of an impact. Whenever you see a picture or something or video, it does always resonate a little more than just the written word. And so they didn't want to have anything recording. Now, Texas is one of these states that is one-party consent for audio recording. As long as one person who's involved in the conversation consents to the recording, you can tape it, even if that's you secretly recording the other person. I don't know why some states are what, and I don't know why more states aren't two-party. It seems, you know, when you're recording someone, they don't know you're recording them. That seems a little unfair, I think, but some states that is unfair, and some states it's a free-for-all, and nobody seems to care. So Nico Harrison did speak, and if I were to have you guess, well, what were some of the things that you think that he talked about? Do you think that he would be remorseful and regretful, or do you think he would double, nay, triple down on the move that he made? I mean, the answer is quite obvious. There's no regrets on this trade, said Harrison. Part of my job is to do the best thing for the Mavericks, not only today, but also in the future. And some of the decisions I make are going to be unpopular. That's my job, and I have to stand by it. And I'll say what I've said about this trade. I can get myself to a point where Nico Harrison thought he was making the right move. I can get myself to that point where I can believe that he believed he thought he made the right move. There's some problems I have with even getting to that point, because if you're going to trade Luka Doncic, you got to at least offer him to another couple of teams other than just Rob Pelinka and the LA Lakers, who then talked you down from what an initial trade package or a better trade package could have been. So you didn't offer him around, and then you didn't even get the best deal. You didn't even get like, oh, okay, I guess that, I mean, you didn't even get that. The problem was that he got traded in the first place, but the disproportionality of the trade, how lopsided it was, really made this whole thing even worse. But I still feel like for him to have made this trade, he had to be trying to use galaxy brain when it was not needed. You know the phrase, he's playing chess, everyone else is playing checkers. Well, I think Nico Harrison, when he went into these negotiations, thought he was playing chess. But he was playing, it was still checkers. You're still playing checkers. If you try to move your checker pieces like chess pieces, that doesn't work. That just makes a mess of the whole board and you can't play the game. I think Nico Harrison thought he saw this real finite window of opportunity where, yeah, this probably won't work, but if it does, not only will we win and I'll be considered a great genius and to have this tremendous foresight. The only way that I feel like this could have even been thought about was if Harrison had gone back in time or something, or gone into the future, had seen this played out, and then went back and said, okay, this is going to be weird, but I know that this works. It's hard to understand why anyone would make this deal if they didn't 100% know that it would work. Because it's not the kind of trade that was like, okay, 50-50 chance it's going to benefit you, 50-50 chance it's going to benefit me. It's like a 99.8% chance that the Lakers are going to win this trade every time. There's a few scenarios where the Lakers don't win that trade. One of them would be if Luka does deteriorate, doesn't live up to his potential. But I think we've already seen post-trade that that's going to take a really horrific kind of injury to knock him out. So the other thing would be that we're going to have a window here where we are going to succeed. Because we've got Kyrie Irving, which Nico says people didn't like that trade. But now we're getting Anthony Davis in here. They said the phrase defense wins championships, as reported a bunch of times. And here's what Nico Harrison said about that. So I think to make this trade and to have it work, you need to, like, for us to look back at this trade after it happened, for us to have then looked back at the trade and said, definitively, the Mavs won the trade. The Lakers would have to win less championships because of it than the Mavericks. Not the same amount, but less. So if neither win a championship, Lakers still win the trade. If the Lakers win one and the Mavs win one, not enough. You traded a long time of Luka for a real short window. I still don't think they win the trade. Because who's to say they wouldn't have won a championship with Luka? So for them to win the trade, they need to win more titles than the Lakers do with Luka. And I don't think that that was going to happen. Because I don't think they're going to... Luka's got a Supermax coming up. He's got more extensions. He's going to stay in LA. He's going to be there for at least 8 years. And I think a lot of people, when they're predicting what might happen, are going to say, yeah, I would predict that Luka Doncic and the Lakers win a championship while he's there, yes. I certainly would. With the Mavericks, once we get further down the road, because we could be thinking with the Lakers, we could think, well, maybe he doesn't win this year, but if he's going to be there a while, like what about 2027 or what about 2029 or something like that? Those years aren't going to be afforded to the Mavericks because they won't have this team by then. Kyrie is not young and neither is Anthony Davis. So they're trading for a finite window with these two guys. Remember, Anthony Davis was the centerpiece for them of this trade. And Nico quintupled down, said, this is a championship caliber team. And you guys were able to see it for 2.5 quarters. Now that feels like parody on itself. You got to say longer than 2.5 quarters. And he's referencing the first game that Anthony Davis came over was putting up Anthony Davis, great Anthony Davis numbers, but then he got hurt and had to leave the game and played 2.5 quarters. So, yeah, I guess, man, we saw it for like a half, what it I could be. In that game, the Mavs did beat the Rockets 116 to 105. Anthony Davis put up 26 points, had 16 rebounds, 7 assists, played 31 minutes. That was back on February 8th. He did not play again until March 24th. And by the time he got back in, it wasn't shortly after he got hurt that then Kyrie Irving got hurt. So it's not like, oh, we didn't see this for most of the year. We're going to get them at least in the playoffs. And yeah, they're the 10 seed, but hey, watch out for the Mavericks. No, Kyrie Irving is out. And they've dealt with injuries quite a bit in the second half of the season. And so really, it's going to be tough for them to do anything, much less win tomorrow in the play-in game. So that's already one season wasted. So now I guess for this to ever work, the Lakers can't win this year. They can't win next year. The Mavs have to win next year. They also traded Quentin Grimes, by the way, who's been like a renaissance project in Philadelphia. Just, you know, making dumb trades. And so they have to, I think, like for them to even have any say to say, yeah, we made a good trade and you can't argue it. They have to win the title next year. They have to. They have to. You don't make a trade like this. You don't alienate your fan base. Unlike, really, no teams alienated their fan base before and not get a championship out of it. This is not just a, hey, we tried our best. Like, let me bring up the Bucks. You know, they traded Drew Holiday, get Damian Lillard. They're trying something. Drew then won a title in Boston, and there's been some injuries in Milwaukee, but they went for something and it didn't work. Sometimes it's okay to do that. The Nets went for Kyrie, KD, Harden. It didn't work. This is so bad and so abhorrent that you have to win a championship. You can't say, oh, well, GG, good game. You need a title out of this because you've broken a generation of Mavericks fans as well in the process. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We do have the final in tonight's East playing game, the Western playoff game off to a very good start for the away team, and we'll relay more of what we were relayed that Nico Harrison said. Again, I have no audio to play for you, no video to share. It's just reporters scribing down what Nico said in a behind-the-doors, sure, get your yellow notepad out meeting. It's 2025. Don't record me. 888-710-4ISN. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Nico Harrison spoke to the Dallas media, some of them, by the way, select members of the Dallas media that he was comfortable enough with providing his insights into why exactly he traded Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis and spare parts. Again, it was not a good trade. It was not even the best trade that the Mavs could have gotten from the Lakers. I mean, they could have made different trades, and it still would have been bad trades. But this was a worse version of that. And Nico, not a great week to be named Nico, by the way, with the Tennessee quarterback. Two lanes out of the running there with the NIL saga, as it seemed like they I don't know what they want. It sounds like they want like $15 million or something. It's just an insane asking price, and we talked about it a little last night, but it would probably be best for the long-term standing of college football if somebody didn't give him what he wants. It only takes one, but this is just, kids making money, fine. But the way they're going about this seems like it's going to be more problematic and have big ramifications. So you got him, and then you got Nico Harrison, the general manager of the Dallas Mavericks. He was quoted as saying by Tim Cato of All City, "Nico, my obligation is to the Dallas Mavericks. It's what's the best interest of the Dallas Mavericks. And that's the most important thing. Some of those decisions are going to be unpopular, maybe to Dirk and maybe to the fans. But my obligation is to the Dallas Mavericks." So that's interesting, as they asked about Dirk Nowitzki not liking the trade, showing up right away in Los Angeles, having that special relationship with Luka, as there's only been really one other person to come internationally play with the Dallas Mavericks and have a lot of attention on him, be a top 10 pick, and that was Dirk. And what a great mentor that he could choose to be to Luka. He did choose to be that to Luka. And now we've got the situation that we have where Nico Harrison is basically saying it might be unpopular to Dirk and the fans, but my obligation is to the Dallas Mavericks, essentially saying that Dirk and the fans are not what he considers to be the Dallas Mavericks. Mark Cuban, who still has some ownership in the team, said this in response to what his general manager said. "Dirk is the Dallas Mavericks, then, now, and forever. No one should ever forget that. That statue will be here forever. Loyalty never fades away. Tomorrow night, 15 guys will put on a Mavericks uniform. They will do everything they can to win for themselves, each other, and the fans. Our squad has busted their ass to fight through incredible adversity. They have my respect and support and should have everyone's. I am a Mavs fan. I will always love and cheer for everyone who puts on our uniform tomorrow night and however many games we have left this season and in every future season, whether I'm in the stands, in front of the TV, or following every play online, my heart and soul is committed to rooting for the Mavs to win. That will never change. I know fans are upset, but don't be upset at the players. Support them, root for them, rally behind them. MFFL stands for Mavs Fan for Life." So essentially saying, hey, the fans are important. Dirk Nowitzki is important. It does matter what he thinks. Dirk Nowitzki, a hell of a lot more of a Dallas Maverick than Nico Harrison will ever be. And I don't know at what point ownership, you know, there's still... It's not that there's conflicting reports. The reports are that ownership signed off on it, but had to be convinced. The speculation is they had some hand in this, whether it's to facilitate the move or to facilitate the threat of the move. But I've been playing under the assumption of the facts that I know, and that's that Nico Harrison made this trade. Nico Harrison, general manager of the Dallas Mavericks, clearly thinks that he now has more of a stewardship and is more in control of the Dallas Mavericks than anyone that came before him, and certainly anybody that roots for the team. And that's an interesting spot to be, where you're the general manager, your moves aren't always liked. You're not always going to do things that the fan base likes. "We believe in the move we made," Harrison said. "You guys obviously don't, and that's fine. You're entitled to your opinions, but we're excited. I think once we win, that will change your mind." Harrison believes that Anthony Davis came in, got hurt, and had fans got to see the real version of this team, they would have been excited. The vitriol would have subsided, he says. Well, it's part of the problem. I mean, the guy's nickname is Anthony Day 2 Davis. There is injury concern and history with him. And you know that. That was the guy you brought in, the guy you traded out. You just may have thought, like, he's too out of shape and we don't want to be committed to him long term. The beauty of Dallas is it is a passionate fan base, Harrison said to reporters off camera. For us to reach our goals, we need that fan base. And to be honest with you, every trade I've made since I've been here has not been regarded as a good trade. So sometimes it takes time. When I traded for Kyrie, it was met with a lot of skepticism and it was graded as a terrible trade and you didn't see it right away. But eventually everyone agreed that that was a good trade. When I traded for Gafford and PJ Washington, again, it was like, oh, he gave up way too much. These guys aren't going to help it. Now, that trade, you saw the evidence a little sooner. So sometimes I think trades take a little bit of time. Our philosophy going forward, defense wins championships. We're built on defense. This trade cements us as that. Harrison was asked, did he not believe that last year's team, which got to the finals, with Luka as the centerpiece, could contend for a title? He said, I'll say it again, defense wins championships. It's just an extraordinary risk that you are taking when making this trade. What they thought was, you got the whole dartboard. You got the whole dartboard ahead of you. And you need, oh, I don't know. I'm trying to do quick math here. You need 18 points. Okay? You need 18 points to win the game of cricket. So instead of just shooting at the 18, you get three chances to do that. The way that Nico's trying this is, well, I'm going to shoot at triple two three times. Why don't you just shoot it at 18? Well, you'll see the vision. Once I hit triple two, six, triple two, six, triple two, six, I'll have 18. And I'll be where I want to be. He just got to the finals. They did it with Luka. The guy's a superstar. He's going to play with you for another 10 years. And I haven't even gotten into any of, like, what he means to the community. Because that's what's tearing apart the fan base, too. I mean, he was out in Dallas for a couple of days and donating to GoFundMes and popping up at different events and stores. And he's got a real connection to this place where he grew up. And he may win titles in L.A. But I think he's always going to feel like a Maverick. He's always going to feel like a Maverick that's wearing a Lakers uniform. He's not there thinking like, oh, I'm the next version of Kobe, like LeBron thinks. He's thinking, no, I'm here. This is where I was traded. I'll try to win. I'll get to know these fans, this community. But Dallas is my home. And I'll always find my way back to my home. And I'll always help out my neighbors from my home. So I haven't even touched any of that stuff, which is really why Dallas feels torn apart. Did we not talk to Dallas fans that said that week, even if they win, they won't feel as good about it because it wasn't with their guy? Now, would they have come around eventually? I don't think they would ever need to confront that possibility. They're not winning a championship. They're not winning a championship with these trades. You don't like to speak in definite terms because if something happens that you said is not going to happen, you look dumb. But if you were to tell me, hey, I'm playing this game of darts, and you're not a professional or anything, and you're like, instead of this 18, I'm going to hit three triple twos, I'm going to say you're not going to win this game, and I'm going to be right. The only way that you would make this trade and be this confident about it is if you have come from the future and saw that it worked out. And you can't say that because then it will ruin everything. So you have to just like avoid the media and dance around like trust me, bro, in it the whole time. because you took what was a big pot of chances and you whittled it down to less chances in a less amount of time. And so, look, nobody wants to admit they make a mistake. Nobody ever wants to admit they made a mistake, especially when people have been lining up to tell them, hey, you made a mistake. You'll contort and change your whole reality. You'll bend the rules of everything you used to know just so you don't have to feel bad about making a mistake. You won't admit it. You don't want to. Nobody does. Nico Harrison made a mistake. If he could think about it for 8 seconds, he'd realize that, but he's going to instead triple down and quadruple down. And I'm not even sure if after Anthony Davis is done or if Kyrie Irving's done and it's clear that they are not going to win, I don't know that he'll be too proud to ever admit it. Well, he doesn't have to admit it. We can admit it for him. He made a mistake. And a big one. One that's going to have ramifications for this franchise for a long time. If he didn't make a mistake, don't you think he would answer these questions in front of a lens? Don't you think this wouldn't be the second time he's spoken since? I mean, we make fun of guys like Jerry Jones for always being in front of the camera. But at least they're in front of the camera. At least they have some sort of, like, they take on their decisions. They have some sort of basis. Yeah, I did this. Harrison's like, you know, if you're gonna talk to me, make sure it's in the dark in the back alley, no recording, and don't tell anybody for 3 years. It's like just really weird stuff. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll have the Bulletin Blitz coming up right now, an update with Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Oh, God! Stokely down the sideline! Can they catch him? Stokely! Wow! Touchdown! Denver! Unbelievable!
The biggest voices in sports.
Cannot play with him. Cannot win with him. Cannot coach with him. Can't do it.
The heartbreak.
Touchdown! No! No! The Cardinals have knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs.
The celebrations.
And it takes the knee of the New York Giants of the Super Bowl 42 champions. And Tom Coughlin and the Big Blue erase all of their doubters. They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That's right. It's the Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show. It is Tuesday, April 15th, 2025, and it's only right, Bart, that we start with your Milwaukee Bucks. And the reason for that is yesterday I started with the Chicago Cubs, which only benefits me. Therefore, the Bucks really only benefits you. It's only fair. It's like Thanos said, it's all about balance.
Well, and the six affiliates throughout the state of Wisconsin and the Bucks fans worldwide.
And we do appreciate every 8 of you people. Let's listen to Doc Rivers here. Not exactly the best news. Damian Lillard might miss the first round of the playoffs and could be the only round of the playoffs if the Bucks don't win here. Here's Doc Rivers on adjusting without Damian Lillard.
At least we've had, you know, a long stretch without him. Scoot's been able to come in and help. Ryan Rollins has played great. And you know, we've kind of changed the way we play a little bit with Giannis having the ball more. So at least we've had more time to adjust to it.
Yeah, I was talking about this today with some guys regarding how we feel about the Bucks, and it feels a little deja vu-y where Giannis hasn't had his number two man healthy with him since 2021 in the playoffs. Chris Middleton gets hurt against the Boston Celtics. And then Giannis has been hurt the last couple of years. Last year, we were waiting for Giannis to come back. Damian Lillard at least played at a big first half in game one against the Pacers. Then he gets hurt in the series. And it just seems like, all right, this is a team that's not fully healthy. We're going to be waiting for morsels of information to see when they are going to be. And all the while, they're probably not good enough to go that far anyway. So I said if I had to put, like, I like to try to get myself into a corner where I make predictions and whatever. And I like to say, like, okay, well, if I had a risk-free $1 million, if I was right, what would my prediction on the Bucks-Pacers series be? And it would be Pacers in 5, maybe 6. I would love to say Bucks in 6 or 7, but if I have some money on the line, and that's what I'm trying to think about too, and we'll get into this in a little bit here. If I could get a free $1 million, who do I think is getting drafted at number 3 for your New York Giants? And man, I still think I'm on the Shadur train there. So we'll get into that in a little bit.
I am looking forward to that conversation. Bucks Pacers game 1 will be on Saturday on ESPN. They get the early tip. I'm sure we will have plenty of opportunities to preview the series and lament what could be the Bucks' swift exit. All right, let's go to Josh Kroenke. We're backtracking a little bit. The Nuggets moved on from Michael Malone as well as their general manager, Calvin Booth. Josh Kroenke, who wound up apologizing to both of them, says neither of them actually deserved to be fired.
To be frank, neither of them deserved it, and so for that I apologize. From my position, you know, as a leader of the organization, I needed to be better at different points in time. I could see certain trends behind the scenes with the group, and those were worrisome.
That doesn't take much to say that. I mean, it still happened. They still were fired. But I think it's going to paint the whole situation in a better light, even if he doesn't mean it. Sometimes it's just nice to say the nice thing. Now, they probably deserve to be fired in the way of the locker room isn't listening to you and we're trying to salvage this. But did they deserve to be put in that situation? Maybe not. So it's just, you know, that's nice. I'm not going to ever be mad about somebody for trying to be nice. I can't do it. Good on him.
Yeah. And good on Mike Malone, too, because I'm sure that makes him look a little bit better. He'll wind up being the Knicks coach when Tom Thibodeau gets fired.
Interesting.
Once the Knicks get bounced out of the second round, like always, you heard it here first. All right, and by the way, Clippers Nuggets, they'll be the second game on that Saturday afternoon slate for the NBA playoffs. Let's go to Miami. And here is some news coming out of the Dolphins camp. It looks like they're going to trade, or at least attempt to trade, Jalen Ramsey, their star cornerback, which is a little perplexing because they don't have that much depth in the cornerback room there. That being said, they are actively trying to shop Ramsey, and we'll talk about a little bit more in depth later in Call or Fold as their early tease for that. But here is Dolphins general manager Chris Greer, says there's no rush to make the deal.
These decisions aren't done quickly, and they're not taken lightly because we spent a lot of time this offseason working through this, talking through things.
These kind of stories are interesting to me because if you're floating him, you could let the other teams know you're floating trading him without having to tell everybody in the world that that's something that you're doing. I don't know why we all need to be aware of their efforts to possibly trade Jalen Ramsey. And I don't... The contract as is, he's set to make 16, then 25, then 26, then 36. They signed him to a very hearty deal. So if they want to move on from him, I don't know who's taking any of that on. And I don't know that he ends up getting traded. It just seems weird that Miami, every couple of weeks, is in the news again for possibly a guy wants to leave or they want to see a guy leave. I don't quite understand what's going on there, but it does seem like they are destined to be 9-8 or 8-9 forever. And next year could be the year if this breaks. And I don't know if that's a Mike McDaniel problem or a Tua problem or a Stephen Ross problem or what it is, but it is a problem.
Yeah, and like I said, I definitely got something to call our fold for you, so you can dig into this a little bit more later. All right, let's sneak one last one in here. Here's Travis Hunter. He spoke with reporter Gary Padel at CBS Sports, and he made it pretty clear. If he can't play both sides of the ball, he'd rather quit.
If you had to choose between playing only one position in the NFL, or never playing football again, what would you choose?
Just never playing football again.
That's how passionate you are about playing both positions. Why is that?
This I've been doing it my whole life. Yeah, I love being on the football field, and I feel like I can dominate on each side of the ball, so I really enjoy doing it.
Well, he was led into that question. It's not like he just came out and said, if I can't play both sides, I'll never play again.
Seriously.
It was an either or. He was led into the question. And I do appreciate him saying that, and I wonder if there is a reason behind it once he was given that opportunity, because it does seem like some teams are more open to having that conversation, where some teams are thinking, no, we want to nip it in the bud right now. So we are going to, you guys are going to love this. These two guys that got their jersey numbers retired, Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter at Colorado. We are going to be talking about Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter as we are 8 days out from the NFL draft, and a lot of questions surrounding the two Buffaloes. Great game. Casino usually wrecks me. It's the Bar Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.